Today's program is brought to you by Juniors. You have not really lived until you've had cheesecake at Juniors. For more information, visit juniorscheesecake.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Happy Sunday. I'm here at Heritage Radio. This is the first broadcast of the new year.
Number one.
My name is Philip Gilmore, and this is the main course. I'm here with my dear, dear friends, Damian Paris from The Drafts.
Hi.
And an art star and painting legend, Tim Kent. Is that how do you spell that? Is that with a C?
The regal way.
It could be for you.
Yes.
You
could spell Tim Kent, the inventor of cottage cheese.
They named it Street in Williamsburg after him.
It's an avenue.
Yo, where Paris Avenue at, son? So, yes.
Got my own city,
bitch. I've known Damian. How long have I known you, Damian?
I think it's been a long time.
I knew you before Bozu, I believe.
Yes.
You and Karen. Sweet Ups or Olly Olly or Bose or
all those places.
Yeah, Diner maybe even.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
99 Diner. 2000 Diner.
We're lazy. Yeah. We didn't cook in
and
our 20s.
Damien is in fact the reason why you and I know each other as well.
Yes. Is it?
Yeah, because we were kind of shooting shit one day, and you were like, Damien Paris. I was like, Damien Paris.
Damien Paris. That's all we ever talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My name comes up a lot. Especially in lineups.
Yes. So Tim's a painter. Damien's a musician.
Mm-hmm. Best part-time friends. Face painter myself.
Yes.
But, you know.
So how did you guys meet, actually? You guys grew up in the LES?
No,
kindergarten. Tim tried to take your lunch money, and he's like, "I'm going to show him. No, I'm going to do push-ups."
We met walking through Central Park at midnight.
Yeah, me and my boys. We had some hash. This asshole had some rolling papers, and you were with one of your cronies, and I was with one of mine.
And we decided to join forces and become the Voltron.
Wow. Yeah. And you were 11?
Oh, no, no. Never.
No, seven, close to it. Like maybe eight, 15 or 16?
15, 16, 17.
Shit like that. Yeah. My fondest early memory of Tim is when all of us had taken
the LSATs.
No, I'm getting to that. We took our SATs and
oh my god, what archery I have. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say LSD. I mean SATs.
And yes. So we took our SATs and we chose to celebrate by taking some LSD.
Is that a true story?
That's a true story. Yes. And so we're hanging out on our Frank Robert's roof?
Yeah, we're on Robert's roof. And then we decided to make a huge mission, which was around the block, but it took like an hour and a half to get apples or something.
To get apples. I think I had mentioned, I was like, yo, man, we're on like an open roof, which was such a terrible idea.
Summer, spring.
Summertime, you know, tweaking. I'm pretty sure I scored like a 700 on my all totaled, totaled, yeah.
I was going to be really impressed for a second.
Because the whole rating system is different now. That means I was awful.
Yeah.
And
700 math or 700 English, you're getting into college.
Exactly. Yeah, not me. No, I failed miserably. And I had thought it'd be great to just go to the store and buy things that were green. Because that's what I wanted, something green. Yeah. And right before we left, Tim looks over at me and he had his legs crossed, kind of like they're crossed right now. And he was like, okay, let's do that, but I have one question to ask you. And I was like, what's that, young Tim? And he goes, am I gay if I cross my legs? And I was like, maybe. You might be. I keep them crossed. Let's go. Let's hold hands. And we left.
And I crossed my legs to this day.
Yeah, he still crosses his legs.
I think it's more complicated than that. It's if you cross your legs, you're not gay. It depends on what you're doing with the naked man sitting next to you when you cross your legs that will make you officially a homosexual or not. Or also, too, your thoughts that are going through your head when there's the naked man sitting next to you when you cross your legs effeminately like that. Yes.
He's hiding his boner is what it is.
That's true. And also, but it's hard not to get excited when sitting next to Damien.
Yes, this is true.
Ooh, it's true.
Yes.
I'm aware of this manpower.
So let me ask you guys a question. So you guys are 15. You're obviously a degenerate drug addicts.
Pretty much.
Failing at life. Were you doing little doodles in your sketchbook? Were you playing your acts at home? Did you know you wanted to be a musician?
Here's a Damien story. So Damien was at the time, now he's one of the best guitar players, but at the time he was the best harmonica player.
Really?
And he would play harmonica everywhere and he'd do all these sort of country music jams. And then he goes out to California.
You did suck. I was awful.
And then he goes out to California when you're about 17 or 18. How old are you?
I graduated. I was, because my birthday's in October, so I graduated. I was still 17.
17. And he goes out to California for like 3 months.
I got shipped out for 9 months.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then
he lived in the valley.
He comes
with no
back
car.
To the city and he goes, let's jam. I was like, okay, let's jam. So we get in there and all of a sudden Damien has been like studying Satan because he comes back with these amazing licks. And
I've been trying to be fair. I've been trying to play guitar because that's what I really wanted to play. I didn't want to be a singer. I didn't want to play. Fuck. Who wants to actively and make a choice to play harmonica? Nobody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Come on, guy.
How old are you guys, by the way?
I'm 40.
I'm almost 40.
Almost 40. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Drink of 40. Almost 40. So I wanted to play guitar, so I would jam, and everybody was like, yo, you're whack, bro. So I would pick up a guitar and be like, come on, guys, let's do it. And the jam would end in like 2 minutes later. Everyone would just walk away and be like, yo, bro, just stick to harmonica, you know? And I was like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to get really good at guitar. And I was like, all right, buddy.
So this is like 92, 93, so you were probably going out back then.
Yeah. 93, 94, yeah.
You went out to L.A. to hang out with like Joe Satriani and Steve
Vai. No.
I went out to hang out with Black Sabbath.
Basically. No. I lived in a shitty house with my father and his like new wife and new family.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm the teenage son that, you know. He doesn't want here, but hey, I'm here. He's going to teach me how to drive and get me a job, and I'm going
to.
I didn't get either of those things. Still not
to play guitar.
So I stood in a room in the valley by myself with a 3-string electric guitar with no amp, and fucking, I would steal cough syrup from the fucking thrifty. That's because I had to walk a mile to get to it, and just run modes.
Wow,
or what I thought were modes, and then I came back.
Yeah, but the thing is, the funny part about Damien is that he plays guitar upside down, strung upside down.
Yeah,
so it's. He basically picked up a guitar and was like, I need something to do. And he just started shredding.
He's just tired of jerking off 5 times a day, you know?
No, totally.
On concert.
Or in conjunction with, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, whoa. So you get back to New York. Now, at this time, were you doing the same thing? You were used to, you know, stealing art supplies?
I wasn't. I was pretty useless. I was skateboarding a lot and playing in a band called The Vast Deference. And then,
what do you play?
You know what a bass reference is?
Yeah. Anyway, so I was playing with this drummer, and then and Damien comes back. He's like, "We should play," and I was like, "Okay." And I introduced him to Andrew, who would later become the drummer of the Giraffes.
Mm-hmm. So, awesome.
Yeah,
and that's an even greater story because Andrew's—he looks like a prison rapist / cuddly bear. You know? I had the time in. Living in Williamsburg with a bunch of friends in like a rock and roll flop house, and we're playing bullshit indie rock, you know.
And this is like what year? Like,
late 90s, whenever I got back, 95. Yeah. Between like
96, I remember.
Yeah, 96 to like 98. And this guy comes over for a jam, and he brings this weirdo bald guy. And I never really played with a real drummer. I only played with Adrian and a bunch of these other fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And we're all fine, but you know, you're not going to get better.
Who's Adrian?
Mr. Adrian Grenier. You know,
who's that? Who's
the pretty
that?
Pretty boy actor?
Aquaman?
Yeah, fucking Aquaman.
Fucking Aquaman.
He's got a nice pair of lips.
But he's a solid drummer.
Is he?
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's good. He's good now. Yeah. I mean, we all sucked back in the day.
Yeah.
But I'd always wanted to play something a little. I didn't want to just be a Sebado ripoff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I was happy to be, but I wanted more.
Is Sebado ripoff?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
You know, anything that just, you know, I describe it as gin, 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 gin. Are you sleeping? Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so Andrew comes over, and he's the first drummer I ever played with. It was like, cool, I like to play it again. I'm like, what? He asked me to play the thing twice. And next thing you know, he had the fucking drum beat.
Wow.
I was like,
but he was also solid. He was also really fast and really heavy.
Really fast, heavy, and he could remember shit. He's like, all right, it goes. But meanwhile, when you stand in a room, a bunch of guys can't remember the last lick. They're just freeform jamming. It's awful. Yeah. It's like jazz without knowing
Sebado, what you're doing. Sebado meets Fish.
Not even, dude. Fish could play, motherfucker. You know, we couldn't. We were like Velvet Underground, but
on cough syrup. Like Velvet Underground on cough syrup.
Right. Oh, that would have been cool. Yeah, no, right. On like cheap Caribe coffee, you know.
Robitussin, it's my life.
There were the Robitussin. There was like a lost year of Robitussin, though. I remember.
Robo tripping.
Yeah, totally.
Mm. This is a nice, clean family show today. These two beautiful, upstanding citizens that have.
I haven't been called beautiful in a while.
Aw,
keep it coming.
Yeah. All right, so moving on.
Yeah, keep moving.
Andrew's going.
Andrew, anyway, he killed it. And so next thing you know, he's like, we should do this again. And I'm like, great. Did you just bring over a drummer and now we're a band? Next thing you know, we're practicing at Funkadelic. Like, we're getting too loud to play in my house. And that's kind of how it happened, you know. And years later, I found out that Andrew had come over just for a jam because he had literally packed a moving truck and was moving back to Texas where he's from to live with his girlfriend. So he jams at me, as the story goes. He tells it better. He goes, all right, cool. Let's do next Tuesday. Great. See you later. All right, guy. He gets on the phone. He's like, hey, baby, how you doing? Yeah, I'm not coming. No, we're not going to live together, and we're not together anymore.
Wow.
So I'm going to stay here and join this band and see how it goes.
Yeah, and so
band fuck you too. Bye, click.
The band formed the fantastic name after this sort of like epic meeting. He goes, what are we going to call ourselves? And Damien goes, we're going to call ourselves the Giraffes. Like, really?
That is a classic story of
straight from my ass.
Bros before girlfriends from Texas.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can call her a hoe. It's fine.
So that's awesome. And with the Giraffes, that's it. That's just as simple as like, we're going to call ourselves the Giraffes.
Yeah, and that was like before the internet. We didn't even check if there was another band, and there was.
Came out the same year.
Same year.
Really?
Yeah. We'd actually started before then, but in order to be legitimized, you have to play a show that is listed in a newspaper.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And the thing was, it was the guy from the President of the United States of America. He wrote.
He actually ate at my restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Chris something, right?
Chris somebody, yeah.
Tall guy.
Yeah. Tall ball guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
But he's done a couple albums too.
He never sued us, so
no. There's sort
but
of like
if he
an
does,
unspoken.
Fuck him if not. I love him. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you. Whatever your name is, Chris. Something.
Yeah, but we imagine it as an unspoken truce between the two giraffe camps.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's gonna mistake each other for the other band.
For those of the millions and millions of people that listen to this show, if you haven't heard the Giraffes, they literally shred. You guys shred.
Thank you.
That sounds really like, I don't know what that sounds like. That's the only word I can think of to describe them.
You like cheese? We shred? What's
up? We shred. I think, is Lemmy one of your idols?
Oh, he was the man. I mean, he lived a rock and roll lifestyle. Above and beyond that, he was, I don't know.
I literally used to record when I was probably 14, and we're talking like probably 85 or 86. I used to record the Young Ones.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that line.
And then that episode where, you know, where they're going to the college, you know, quiz show.
Yeah.
And Lemmy's playing the living room. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at?
I agree. I saw that clip the other day. I posted it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, right.
I think I might have shared the one somebody shared, but I totally forgotten about that. But I literally, on a VCR, I was just, you know, like, just rewinding.
Yeah, but that's what was so cool about the Lemmy, is that he'd just be up front. He had this mic up high, and they just...
Yeah, no one did the mic up high thing. I don't know what that... It was just like, why you got a crane back, son?
You know, watching that video the other day when you posted it, I was it's almost like the microphone version of those guys that have the choppers that the handles are like 8 feet tall, and they're like reaching up. It's like totally like that's irresponsible and weird, and I like it. You know,
I just always thought it was just him. He put it up high so that he could fucking scream at God when he played songs. You know,
really,
just look. Yes, it's what he's doing. He's looking straight up into the sky. Be like,
but that's not an official. That's not an official Lemmy thing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've never seen anybody else fucking put them. Why? I mean, who puts mics up like that?
Who liked the Lemmy Kravitz bit? I didn't get that.
I thought that was hilarious.
Lemmy Kravitz. That's really
Our new bassist Josh Taggart kept posting like shots of Lenny Kravitz being like R.I.P. Never forget.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, no, dude, it's Lemmy, not Lenny.
It was
Lenny.
Josh
was like,
who did it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, nah, man, Lenny's gonna be, and he would not stop.
That's really
it.
Funny. I saw this video and it looked like it was probably like 30 years old, but it was Lemmy reading a fan letter, and it was a young African American kid that was 15, and he was like, you know, I love Slayer and I love Iron Maiden and I love Metallica, but you know, you're the best, and you know, I'm your biggest fan, but I live in a neighborhood with mostly African American people, and everybody makes fun of me, and you know, like say that I'm you know a race traitor or whatever it is, you know, and my mom's cool with anything and supports me, but my dad says, you know, I should listen to only black music, and you know that you know, why am I listening to this shitty white people music? And so fair he's enough. Like, you know, do you have any advice how I should deal with that? And he's like, yeah, you know, there was a guy that thought his race was better than anybody else. His name was fucking Hitler, you know. And he's like, we're all one race of people. We're all the same. Do whatever the fuck you want. And tell everybody to piss off. You know, like it was just like the best advice ever.
That's a good piece.
And so this is the weird part about the story. That little kid's name was Lenny Kravitz. No, I'm just kidding.
I hate you.
Bring it all back.
Yeah, bring it all around. No, but that's the letter is actually a true story.
No, that was from Lemmy Kravitz.
That's from Lemmy Kravitz, yes. The Lemmy Kravitz Chronicles.
Yeah. I am mourning his loss.
Yeah.
Totally. That's what you're asking.
Also, there's the whole thing about, like, you know, it's how long was this guy going to go? Because, I mean, he kept going.
Yeah.
But I think 70 is a nice round year for a rock and roller. I think, like, that's the perfect sort of, you've done it. You don't want to get too much more decrepit. Otherwise, you'd just be looking like Mick Jagger or somebody like that.
You know.
I don't give a shit what I look like.
I want to be
old as fuck. If I can still make a beat out of, like, my respirator and all my different machines hooked up to me, I'd be like, yo, tune that to see. Let's get this. This will be the bass, like doop, doop, burp, burp. That'd be awesome. Every drip has a different fucking mic on it.
Yo, the fans will go crazy.
Hell yeah, I'll release that shit.
You're doing a sound check, and they're like, a Damien, yes, your hospital gown is not tied in the back. And you're like,
or in the front.
or in the front.
Hospital gown.
Your hospital gown is not tied, and also you're wearing it backwards.
I'm over 70, right? I'm wearing fucking human skin. I'm pulling a full one-piece Gucci leather face thing going on. You know,
if you make it really big, you can get tattooed all over to Gucci.
No, absolutely not. I will not do that. But, you know, maybe a few cocks on my forehead, something.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, we could do that. Let me just take a few Quaaludes.
We got one big one up there.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Mimi? Tell me about Mimi.
Mimi? Well, that's
the artichoke queen.
That's my mother.
Mimi. Is it really?
Yeah, I was hanging out with her yesterday. Yeah, see, me and my brothers and my sister, we all got the same tattoo on our arm.
How do you say artichoke in Italian? Tartufi or something?
I don't know. I don't speak WAP, but, you know.
You barely speak English. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I'm Italian-American,
all
right?
Yeah.
I wish I could.
You know what's so funny? I lived in Italy twice, once for 8 months and once for 4 months.
Never learned how to say artichoke?
No. I forget how to say it, but I never heard anybody go, prosciutto, mozzarella.
Yeah.
Mutz. Give me the mutz. You know.
That's true.
Yeah. They don't say that over there.
Gabagool.
Well, yeah.
Gabagool.
It's like in their blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It comes with their mail.
Those people don't know the real Italian food.
And, you know, hey, Italian people are skinny, too. They, you know, they don't fucking eat.
I don't know what you're talking about. I lived in Italian neighborhoods all my life.
Not here. I'm talking about in Italy.
Oh, in Italy. Yeah. Because they're not eating the gabagools and
the
prosciutto and the mozzarella. The boys had prosciutto.
They don't do takeout. They don't fucking do takeout. Yeah. So you're either going out to a restaurant at 7:30, 8 o'clock, or you're fucking cooking yourself. There's no takeout. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, we'll get a pizza one night. And they were like, no, you're not.
I gotta tell you a story. I'm living in the direct center of Rome, and my friend Francesco, he grew up there, and he's like, oh,
Minga.
Yeah. So he's like, there's this great place. They do takeout, but the only thing they do takeout is just pizza, but it's considered the best pizza in Rome, blah, blah, blah. It's a block from the house. So I'm like, okay, cool. And so
what was
I'm
called?
Like,
do you remember?
No, I don't remember. Right. I can tell you it's across streets, but yeah, whatever.
Spent some time in there.
So we're really stoned and really drunk, and so all I want is I love onions on pizza, and so it took him 5 minutes to fucking explain to the guy, can you just please put onions? I'm like, come on, what's the big deal? And he's like, but he's like, I can do it, but he's the guy on the phone. He's like, I don't understand why would you do this? And it literally, he's like, well, my friend's from America, and this is just what he wants. He's like, okay, but why would he want that? And he didn't even understand it.
Yeah, but look, you're a food guy. I mean, this, the original Sicilian, my grandmother used to make pizzas. Okay. Yeah. in the original Sicilian had the onions in a sauce. Yeah. That's how you make it.
Yeah.
So well, actually, the square thing was a fucking, I don't know, some American fucked that whole square thing up. But it was the onions was in the sauce.
Yeah.
That's how my grandmother used to make it.
Yeah.
All of them. All the sauce, onions, in with the tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's how it's done.
But also like garlic or oregano or anything like that?
Yeah, she fucked with all that. But I'm saying, when you make the sauce.
I think the grandmother slice. It's like the chunkier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you should have ordered a Sicilian in Rome.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't like Sicilians. Yeah, I'm part Sicilian. They don't like Sicilians in Rome. So, anyway, great. Cool.
Yeah.
Can we talk about me now?
All right? Yes, absolutely. Okay.
No.
What is your favorite pizza in New York City? What is your favorite pizza?
In New York City? I like Roberta's. It's got really good pizza.
Yeah, Roberta's has great pizza.
It's pretty fucking badass. See, I mean, as a regular slice, I don't know. I eat at Sal's all the time because it's up the block for me. They're pretty good.
You know what I never had before, and I just had it for the first time like 3 months ago, but changed my life? I'd never had Joe's.
Oh, really? Joe's is good.
I don't think I've ever had Joe's.
It's not fancy, and it's a few people it's a little sweet for. I think it's the best slice and the best Sicilian. Well, what is it? L&B Simone Gardens is the best Sicilian slice I've ever had.
We're talking about the one on Bleecker.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? I ate the one in Williamsburg, and I was so blown away. And then I actually went to the one on Bleecker Street. And,
I haven't had the one on Bedford yet.
I had the one on Bedford, actually.
It's good?
Yeah, it's okay.
What's it called? Anna Maria or whatever. And the other pizza slice right over there on 7th.
Yeah.
That's a good slice.
That's a good slice. That's actually a really good slice. A late night slice.
I'm wasted. When I eat there usually. But they were the first place in, I remember going there in like 2000 and they had fucking pineapple and ham.
But
they
I also like Speedy Romeo. I think they actually have a good
pizza. Their veggie pizza is
insane.
And they do this one with an egg and like some kind of bacon and that's our boy. That's our boy Todd. Whenever I go there, he fucking just throws food at me.
Yeah.
Todd, fucking little awesome guy. Fucking he's one of the nicest guys I ever met.
Todd.
Fucking Todd. I don't know what your last name is, Todd.
Todd with Gabagoo.
Todd with the Gabagoo and a fucking fire roast.
Hey, put some boots on that shit, Todd.
Delicious.
It's okay.
I guess we're going to take a little break. I just talked to somebody, and they're going to grab Damien some of his cough syrup so he stops shaking and sweating. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back in a couple minutes.
I need it, man.
Let's play a game. If I say three words, let's say Brooklyn, classic, food. You tell me what comes to mind. I'll give you a second. If the answer wasn't Junior's, you lose the game. You can't possibly be a Brooklyn foodie, or a foodie at all for that matter, and not know about Junior's. Founded by Harry Rosen in 1950, Junior's landmark restaurant is known as the home of New York's best cheesecake. Real talk, you have not fully lived unless you've had Junior's cheesecake. The original location in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue is still thriving, or you can check them out at recent landmark additions in New York's Grand Central Terminal or in the heart of the Theater District on Broadway and Times Square. Check out their first restaurant outside of New York at the Fox Tower Hotel at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. It's not just cheesecakes. They've got steak, seafood, sandwiches, salad, everything you would possibly need to complete an authentic New York dining experience. Don't be embarrassed next time somebody asks you if you've been to Junior's. Visit juniorscheesecake.com for more information.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
Your boy?
Yeah, John Norris. I just want to say a shout out to my man Alan Rosen from Junior's Cheesecake. He's a sponsor of this show.
Oh, we love Junior's.
We love Junior's, man.
You know, single-handedly responsible for all the traffic. What is that? Fucking Flatbush? What is it?
Atlantic? No.
What is it? Flatbush, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like the guys of Triple Park getting the fucking cheesecake, man.
It is that good.
He was in studio a couple months ago, and he just had the best stories, you know.
Junior's.
Like, yeah.
How long has it been there, though?
Fucking forever.
1950.
Amazing.
And then I think Junior's has been there since 1950, and then it was actually his grandfather actually had something there for 5 years before that. But Junior's has been there.
It's down by the courthouse, so I would always go down there and treat myself after, you know.
After you got out of Central Booking?
Yes. After visiting a friend in a government building,
yes.
I would treat myself because it always went well with my friend.
Yes.
In the government building.
For my friend that was arrested for indecent exposure.
My friend.
Totally.
This is a nice family show. It's called The Main Course. We're here with Tem Kent, the famous artist, and Damien Paris, the shredder. So, Tem.
Yes.
Painting.
So, Phil.
What does it mean to you?
Oh, man. It's, can we not do that one?
Okay, hold on. I just want to ask one question. Okay, Tem, close your eyes. There's a blank canvas, and then you have every color available to mankind. And then I want you to skip forward 2 weeks. What did you paint on the blank canvas in your dream?
Awesomeness.
Whoa.
Awesomeness, really?
Well, no, not really.
That's a lot of male nudes, right?
Yeah, totally.
It looks cool.
Like a Michelangelo fight
scene. To speak for Tem, I'm pretty sure early on in the game, the only reason he got into painting portraits and people was so that he could get women naked and pose for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, no, I won't. No, that just, you know, yeah, your body wonderful.
Damien, I think for most painters, that's how they get into it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't start playing music for girls at all.
Yeah.
It was for the music.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think most things I got into was to try and get laid at some point.
You know? Yeah. Well, I guess that's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
It's not a game, man.
Yeah.
This is life. This is our art, okay? This is our craft.
Yeah.
We're unique. You know, there's not a lot of artists in Bushwick.
So, moving forward.
No, but Tem is a real... I love his fucking work.
I do, too. I joke with him.
I own some Tem Kent originals on my wall, okay? That's paying for my kids' college fund. So you need to fucking live another 20 years and then die a horrible death, destitute, okay?
I think if I'm not mistaken, if he died a really tragic, horrible, grandiose... awesomeness death.
You mean like if we were on the ocean and I died first and
cut your head off?
Oh, yeah, cut my head exactly. and feet off.
Or no, if one of us died and then you made a painting in our blood, that wouldn't you?
I did your ass cheeks. He's got a nice ass.
Tim Kim, what was your motivation in eating your best friend and then doing a painting in blood? I make awesomeness. I'm an artist. I got to create even on a boat.
But I'm surprised that there hasn't been some idiot who's made a piece of art like that. It's like, no, it's art. You just eat somebody.
Eat his own dick.
Yeah. Well, they've done that.
They've done that.
Yeah.
The guy.
Yeah.
That was a lovely case.
Let's go backwards again. When did you get signed? How did that go?
When did you get signed? When they get kicked off?
When did you get signed and how did it get fucked up?
Oh, you mean the first time when we signed the Razor and Tie?
Your first album.
We thought, here come the fucking bye-bye rags.
Here come the warm jets.
Whoops. No. There were massive warm jets.
The warm jets? You mean in fucking the Meadowlands over there? JETS. No, guy, we signed. We were like, oh, it's actually happening. This is amazing. But I don't even remember what it was. It was like 2005, 2006.
2004 you did it.
Was it 4?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and then if anybody remembers, that was literally the bottom of the toilet known as the music industry. And, you know, everybody got their money flush. And that's right when we got signed. And they were just like, hey, yeah, we're a little more into this kids bop records that we're putting out. So you're going to basically be a tax write-off. We're going to throw it out there and see if anybody catches. Oh, nope, didn't get it. What is this, hard rock? I remember we got reviewed in Vice magazine. Oh, and it was just like 0 stars. Like, what is this shit? Is this hardcore? Like, people listen to cock rock? Please, whatevs. Like, whatever hashtag it was before it was a hashtag.
Mm.
I was like, oh, thanks. That guy totally listened to our record. Yeah. Fuck you. So anyway, we got signed.
Did you ever play at Black Betty's?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. All the time, dude. Black Patties is my shit.
I think I saw you at Black Patties.
That's Sandy, man.
Yeah.
From the Spider Cunts.
Yeah.
This is my homegirl, man. And
Bud.
Fucking crazy Bud, man. We used to play there all the time, dude. I remember one of my best shows, we played with the Vitamin. Aaron was in the habit of strangling me.
Yeah.
So he was like, I was like the tiger, and he was the... You know, the cobra, the tiger, the python tamer.
The tiger tamer. The gorilla tamer.
Yeah, yeah. And he almost threw me through the window. That was great. Those were good times. Yeah, Black Betty's, man. I think Ben from fucking Dopamine and fucking Black Cat Revolver was doing a party called like Hot Rocks.
Or right next door. No.
No, it was there.
I don't remember that.
I do. Yeah, I played there. In answer to your question. I didn't play in the softball league, though.
Really?
My buddy did, and he got the tattoo, the B and the B.
Great. Boogaloo? Any memories of Boogaloo?
Oh, no, except probably doing coke with some weirdo in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, awesomeness.
Or the stinger.
Yeah.
The stinger. Whoa, oh, what man. Fucking A.
Best bar ever.
I got warts from just, like, peeing in the urinal.
Oh, my gosh.
Was disgusting.
Yeah, it was the best.
I like Lux. You know, I have to say. I really love Lux. We were the house band at Lux.
Were you really?
Well, I mean, we just played there every fucking week.
You know, about 6 months before Lux, if you remember, on the corner of
Grand,
Grand. No, it's what's it?
Like by Clem's?
It's Havemeyer. Yeah, where Clem's is. That's Havemeyer, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah. So
no, that's Roebling.
No, real. Yeah, Roebling.
Havemeyer's the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Past the boat.
So, the coffee shop. So across the street, catty corner to Clem's, there was the Phil's Men's Store. It was the Army Navy surplus right on the corner.
Yeah, and they had
like the old tan sign with the dark brown painting, and you can tell over the years they kept on painting over at Nike and Adidas.
Do you remember that?
I remember a store there, yeah.
Yeah, it was an Army Navy surplus store, and it was about 2,000 square feet inside, and it was just like they had like, you know, five pairs of shorts and 10 footballs that were deflated. And then the window had like, you know, mannequins with like, you know, wearing camouflage jackets holding a football with fingers missing. So my plan was I literally raised probably almost $1 million. Like, you know, not actually signing anything, but would you give me $250,000 for this idea? Fuck yes. I just talked to the richest people I knew, and everybody's
please in say with, roller rink.
No. this is 6 months, maybe six months before Lux even thought about opening. My business plan was doing a gay disco right on the corner there, and then leaving the facade, and it was called Phil's Men's Store.
Amazing.
Love it. They had windows on both sides with mannequins, and then I was just going to fill the entire window, keep their original windows, and then just fill the entire thing up with like sausages and dead animals.
Awesome.
Yes. But they said no.
I would try sodomy.
Yeah. No. But here's
power
the thing.
Bottom. Here's just to go dancing. Yeah. There.
No, but that's the thing. That 6 months before Lux on that corner, that's a no brainer.
Yeah.
That's a no brainer. But they're like, no, we're going to build condos here, and then now there's condos.
Yeah.
There.
And then right. You know what the first thing that Lux turned into, I think, was like Sweet Mamas, and then turned into Toys in the Attic, which was a gay bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know,
well, wasn't it started by Larry T?
Oh, probably, but
yeah,
you know,
I think he was a
fucking
dude.
Larry T,
legend, a legend in your community.
Yeah, I remember all those Electro Nights. Ooh,
Electro.
Well, wait, when did you get out of here? How long have you been out here?
I've been here since '99.
Right on.
Yeah. So,
what planet do you come from?
I was born in Wichita, Kansas, and then I moved to South Florida when I was about 7.
Oh, you're from Jupiter, right?
Yeah, Jupiter.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, I'm from Palm Beach Gardens, but whenever I say Palm, I just say Jupiter because whenever I say Palm Beach Gardens, like, oh, that's in California, right? And I'm like, no, it's blah, blah, blah. Oh, blah, blah. And then it's like, no. If I say Jupiter, they know it because, like, you know, Oprah Winfrey and Celine Dion and Tom Cruise all live there now.
But
growing up, it's where the poor kids lived. But
when I asked you that years ago, I was like, "Where are you from?" You're like, "Jupiter." And I was like, "What an asshole!"
Yeah, yeah, I know. And you know the ironic thing is, technically, I live in Palm Beach Gardens, but I'm like, but literally about less than a half a mile from Juno and Jupiter.
Oh wow, that's cool.
So I'm from Jupiter.
Burt Reynolds used to live in Jupiter.
Who did?
Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson.
Absolutely. I have tons of stories.
Oh, really?
Actually, my little brother, Polly, was on the cover of the National Enquirer.
No way.
He was taking gymnastics. He was in like sixth grade. And
remember
then
that, kids?
Yeah. And so whatchamacallit, their kid was like, I don't know, 7 years old. And they were doing a birthday party. So they had
Tommy Lee or something?
Yeah, I don't know what his name is. But they had a big birthday party, and they had the gymnastics troupe come. And for his birthday party, the gymnastics troupe that their kid was part of were performing. And so there's a picture of the kid, like, you know, my little brother sitting next to this little kid. And it was like, you know, and it was something like, you know, their son is tormented, you know, from divorce. And it was right when they were getting divorced. My little brother, my mom still has a picture of the National Enquirer. My little brother's side of his face, like, huh? With his like long hair and a skater cut.
You got to get her to sing.
Shout out to my little brother, Polly. What's up?
What's up, Polly?
Yeah, man.
Polly.
On the cover of National Enquirer.
You should get your family out of Florida, though, because I swear to God, they should calibrate our missiles when we go to war.
Oh, yeah?
On Florida, because it's just, I don't get it. I don't.
We're going to go to war on Florida?
No, I'm saying, well, because you got to calibrate the missiles somewhere. So you bomb Florida first, you get them straight.
Said the guy living in New York City. Yeah. I think you're about 45 years too late for that Florida argument.
Yeah,
or no,
probably.
About 55 years.
No, it's just amazing. Well, I'm single, so I can't fuck all the girls that come from Florida. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, whoa,
from
Florida. Wait.
And apparently,
Karen, call me right away.
I said, I'm not single, but every girl from Florida just seems like, you know, like it's so easy. You know what I mean?
I guess I don't know.
What's the deal with that? I don't know. It's something that they do when the weather does something to their brains.
You know what it is, man? It's why I kind of escaped Florida this sounds really like fun, but the whole culture down there is really based on just money. And then it's also the season, like all the tourists come down and there's this whole culture of like, if you don't come for money, your life just revolves around like pretending you have money. And it's just this whole wag the dog, like boating and fishing and surfing. And of course, lots of drugs. And it just becomes this lifestyle that's just like, you know, it's just.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Terrific nightmare.
That life sucks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the thing is? I kind of had this like kind of like life hack where I would go down there for like 4 or 5 months, work the season, you know, during winter and just, you know, make $500 a night and then just save up a big chunk of change and then just go traveling. Then I'd come back, you know, live at my mom's house for free. And then I'd go over to my friend's house doing the same job that I have. And then, you know, we're like, oh, let's go hang at my house. I got a new apartment. And we go in their fucking, you know, $400 a month lease car. And then we get to their house and they have this brand new, you know, nice new fabricated fucking nightmarish fucking apartment. And they were sitting on like, you know, like probably, you know, $1,200 fucking leather couch that they're probably leasing.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Rent a center.
And then they have, the 40-inch fucking flat screen TV. And then I'm like, they're like, what have you been up to? Oh, I was smoking opium in Thailand for the last 2 months. And they're like, oh God, that's amazing, how can you afford that? And I'm like, what did you just fucking say to me?
Yeah.
You know, like, how can you afford this? Like, not financially, spiritually, and emotionally, psychologically, how can you afford, like, this is what you have to show for? I have nothing to show for, but I was hanging out with the Hill Tribes people. So, yeah.
But that's the pirate life, Phil.
Oh, yeah, I'm still a pirate.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, man.
He's a pirate.
I want to hit the open seas.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Make
sure to bring olive oil and sea salt.
Oh. I'll bring some molasses too.
Can't we just vinegar. Dip bodies in the water? Totally
yeah. Just to, you know, it's brine them.
Brine them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Brine man meat.
So okay. So let's talk about your new album and how did Tim? Why would you trust a painter to produce your album?
Well, Tim was the founding member of the Giraffes.
I know.
So you know. His word is bond.
Yes.
And he happens to be a really big fan and relatively smart and all worldly matters.
Would you consider him a fanboy or a fan man?
Yeah, definitely.
Fan manish boy.
Fan manish boy.
No, it's great. He's manager, fanboy, fuckboy. It's great. It's amazing. Well, we kind of took a hiatus because we all hated each other and, you know, for the most part, and he was like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the studio all day and I'm listening to a lot of music. I go through a lot of music and listen to everything, and the Giraffes kept coming up and I was like, this band is so good and I know all these guys, and I was just like, you know, they've stopped playing for some reason and now they're all playing again, and I wanted to get them to start working together because they actually do something special, I think.
I agree, by the way. I know that, you know, we're joking around here, but your band is so fucking it's like, it just like amps me up. It's so great to listen to.
Yeah.
Thank
really,
you.
It really shreds.
That's definitely the point.
I don't say that word very often except for about Lemmy.
But as far as producing, like I didn't do anything except for sort of just like help put them together and get them back in the studio.
That's great.
And then they did all the stuff and like We'll see what they're going to do, because I think you're going to do another album sometime soon.
We got some things
soon,
coming
right?
out. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to tell you this. Tim is he's not a manager. He's just a guy that knows how to get shit done.
Yeah.
You know, he's the best manager we ever had.
Yeah.
He fucking went in. He's just a guy you want on your team. He's the fucking wolf over here.
Yeah.
You know, he comes in. He's like, what do I need to do? What's going on? What's the situation? Uh-huh. Okay, let's go. And he fucking bends people's wills to get what we want, you
yeah.
know? And he said, I'm going to make this happen. And he made it happen. He got a bunch of guys in a room that fucking hated each other or whatever.
Yeah.
Some more issues or not. And said, you're going to fucking put your bullshit aside. You're going to figure it out. And you're going to make music.
And the thing
again.
Is, they're figuring it out. And it's like, it's interesting
so there
to
we
watch.
Go.
It's interesting to watch, like, these guys who've been working together for nearly 20 years begin to learn how to work together again.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, that's awesome, man. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I'm into it because I had to see it through someone else's eyes.
You know what the Bible says? It says, put away childish things, Damien.
Two men.
I got some children hidden in the woods.
Yeah. Oops. Wait, but yeah, so, you have one kid now or two?
I got one.
One.
Not, you know, the other ones
what,
are
what is it?
Under the floorboards.
What is it? What is it?
It's mine.
Wonderful.
And you can't have
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pay for it if
yeah.
you want.
What, no, what's your kid's name?
I got a daughter.
What's
her name?
Name
is Don Scooch. I'm not yeah. giving her real name out to the public.
Do you know that that when me and Damon, like, you know, we had flirted for a few years, but do you know when me and Karen Damon all together?
We never fucked.
Yeah, we never yet. No, do you know that we went, I suggested that we go see the Crispin Glover movies. Do you
yeah,
know about this?
That was great.
No, what's this?
Oh, Crispin Glover has it's a trilogy that he's done. He's only done two of them. One of them's called What Is It? And then the other one is
Hellion?
Called... No.
What is it? Why?
What is it? And then it's fine. Everything's fine.
It's fine. Everything's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, so the first one is most of the cast is people with Down syndrome. And
I've heard of
yeah,
it.
Oh,
then,
dude, it's fucking awesome.
And then the second one is creepy. this guy that had cerebral palsy, and he was actually in a mental institution, like the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, he wrote a screenplay.
And, but he wrote it in his mind. Like for like 20 years, repeating it. And it's about a guy that's cerebral palsy that women fall in love with, and then they cut their hair, and then he murders them, even though he has cerebral palsy. So this guy is just going through the screenplay for 20 years because he has nothing to do because he's living in this, like, you know, mental institution, which he had no right being in a mental institution. And so when he gets, they finally, when, you know, modern
Christmas
science,
like, I'm going to make your movie.
Yeah, Christopher McGuller, like, says, I'm going to make the movie, and he stars in the movie and gets
to
act out. He gets to act out the movie.
Wait,
that he,
this is a true story?
This is a true
this
story.
This is the movie.
This is a
guy in real life. His name is Steven. I can't remember his name,
but he's fucked.
No,
in real life, he was in a mental. In real life, he was in a mental institution.
Right,
in real life, he wrote the screenplay. In real life, he
Cox.
Got to act in the movie
and
doing
fucks.
What he dreamt about.
He fucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight up. No, there's an amazing scene where he's banging one of the models.
Yeah.
It's, you know, why I could say
But do
fuck.
You know what the cool thing is? Is that they had to reshoot some stuff. And then he says, Crispin, do you need anything else from me? Do we need to shoot anymore? And Crispin Glover says no. And then he died the next day. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's it.
Yeah, he got to live his dream. Like, as disgusting and weird
I mean,
as it is.
And there's a lot of sex scenes.
Yeah.
To reiterate, there yeah. are a lot of sex scenes.
And but wait a second, but if he, and it's porn. But if he's got cerebral palsy, like, does he
and
like
the body's all messed up?
Is it a
dick
slow
got
death?
Hard.
What's
no.
that?
Is it a slow death? I mean,
I don't know. No, it's degenerative.
Yeah.
But
I mean, is he
degenerative?
Is he killing yeah. the women slowly or?
It's weird. They filmed it really cleverly. He just kind of goes like this and like kind of almost looks like a you know a rear naked chokehold MMA style, but it's because his arms are twisted up. Yeah,
he chokes out some that's bitches. Dark. He pushes some bitches.
That's horrible, Damien. Language.
That's dark.
Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up. What is the name of the
great
album?
Note. Yeah.
Yes. What is the name of the
album?
Album
is called the
Usury.
Yeah, it's called Usury.
Usury. Awesome. And where Usury. Can they find that on the iTunes?
They can find it on the iTunes. It comes out on vinyl on the 29th of January, and
awesome.
We're playing a show to support it at St. Vitus in Greenpoint.
Nice.
With
great
Happy
place.
Fang
St. Vitus
and
is
Grand
the best.
Buddha. Yep.
Yeah. So many, I always get pissed off in the morning when I, like, you know, read, like, who was there last night.
Yeah, they have some good
great
people
shows.
Coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the place to play, man.
All right. Well, happy Sunday, everyone.
Thank you
guys so
Phil.
Much for being here.
Thank you.
I'll see you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Happy Sunday.
program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.